you can slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed and stabilized. Then make sure you know how to use this trained mind state to develop the daily mindfulness. You have to expand this mindfulness into the daily life. Then when you stabilize it, your mind will enter sati. Then your movement all will be different. Most of the time you are heedful, quiet, peaceful, without thought. Then try not to talk so much. Okay, what we will do is this morning, because most of them just arrived yesterday. So there are some who haven't renewed their 5 precepts or 8 precepts. So I will administer it again. Turn to your chanting book, the retreat version. We will do the request. Request for 8 precepts and 5 precepts. I pass the mic to is NBL. Yes. You have to make the request. Page 1, requesting for the 3 refuges and the 5 and the 8 precepts. For those who take 5, you chant until 5. For those who take 8, you follow the whole 8 precept chanting. Okay, what we will do is we will do the salutation first. After that, Engbi, on behalf of you all, will make the request and you all chant after her. Okay. Let us chant the salutation to Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha.
Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami.
Okay. You can be seated, then we will commence with the request.
Mayang mita ti saranena saha Atta silani yachama Dutiyampi Mayang mita Ti saranena saha Atta silani yachama Tadiyampi Mayang mita Ti saranena saha Atta silani yachama.
Okay, then turn the page 2. We can chant together to save some time, otherwise it will take longer. So we will start off with a vandana. Then after that, I will administer the three refuges, followed by the eight precepts, but we chant together. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami. Dityampi buddhang saranang gacchami, dityampi dhammang saranang gacchami, dityampi sanghang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tisaranena gamanang natitang
amamita.
Okay, turn to page 4. Panati pata viramani sikha padang samadhiyami.
Adinnadana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami.
Abrahmacharya viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramairaya majjhapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Vikala bhojana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Nacakita vadita visukha dasana malakanda velipana dharana mandana vibhusanya tana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Ucchasayana mahasayana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Imani atta sikkhapadani silena sukantin yanti, silena boga sampadan, silena nibuntin yanti, tasma silang visode. Imani atta sikkhapadani samadhiyami. Imani atta sikkhapadani samadhiyami. Imani atta sikkhapadani samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Before you bow three times, I will explain the meaning of the last sentence. The few sentences, they are very important. So these precepts are very unique. According to the Buddha, these are the 8 precepts or the 5 precepts, then precepts or virtue is the source of spiritual happiness, spiritual joy. Then the second benefit is precept or virtue is the source of true spiritual wealth. And the third most important benefit is precept or virtue is the source of true peacefulness of mind. So if you are a cultivator, if you want to develop the meditation, the samadhi, you need to keep your precept. Because without these three benefits, your mind cannot settle down. Your mind cannot develop the conducive condition to meditate. Yeah. And these three types of benefits are very useful for the spiritual life. Yeah? Because when you meditate, spiritual joy is one of the very important mind state that you have. When there is joy, you are relaxed. Then there is peace within. Yeah? Then you can receive spiritual teaching. That's why it's a source of spiritual wealth. Then the inner peace can lead to the silent mind. That's why you have to keep your precept. Then I have also explained before, if you keep your precept, you are following the advice of the Buddha, taking care of your karma, means you are avoiding evil. Then if you develop the ennoblers of the precept, you not only don't kill, don't harm, you become more compassionate, more loving. Then when it comes to the second precept, you not only don't steal, don't take things that don't belong to you or misappropriate things, you generate the ennobler of generosity, kindness. Then the third precept is, you not only do not commit sexual misconduct for 5 preceptors. For 8 preceptors, you not only hold on to celibacy, you cultivate what they call the ennobler of contentment. You have to be contented with what is allowable, given. Then when you are on 8 precepts, when you commit yourself to celibacy, it's because this is good training. This will help those who are on the training. That's why they got this Sikha and Asikha. Monks that are still on training and monks that are beyond training. When you are still on training, you have to keep that precept, because otherwise the thought process becomes funny. Because as a monk, the rules say you are not supposed to marry because you renounce. So you have to maintain that celibacy through an understanding. So the ennobler is to cultivate contentment and cultivate the 10 reflection. Like the Buddha remind you, if we got time, we can maybe go through the rest. That day we go through the first 3. Then the 4th precept, you not only abstain from telling lie, deceiving people, arising the wrong speech, but you develop the ennobler of cultivating the right speech, the appropriate, gentle, pleasant, and peaceful and appropriate harmonious speech. So this is part and parcel of also Noble Eightfold Path cultivation. Then the 5th precept is, of course, you abstain from taking intoxicant, drugs, and all those things that will make your consciousness low. So you need to be heedful, you need to be ever mindful, you need to avoid the condition for downfall, for heedlessness. So the ennobler of this is, be mindful of what you take. Then you will have this, what they call understanding, to bring forth the virtue for you to live the holy life. Then you will become very different. Then when you see all this, and when you understand the little downfall, your mind is different. You can stay within the wall and yet remain as a monk, a cultivator, your insight is different because you have the understanding. So the ennobler of the fifth precept is understanding. Then, of course, the 6, 7, and 8 is to remind you not to have indulgence. The 6th precept is I undertake the training rule to refrain from eating after appropriate time, means after the noon meal. You're not supposed to take solid food, but take in solid food. And that is not a rule, it's a precept because you are undertaking that training so that you can restrain your craving mind. Because sometimes you have this indulgence for food or this desire for food, but you fail to understand. So when you undertake the training rule to maintain this precept, to abstain from committing any violation of this precept, you are mindful of the time and you will go in the path and make sure whatever food you receive before the time, you have to take them. Then if by the time you reach that time and yet you don't receive any food, you know what the monk is supposed to do. They're supposed to go without solid food for the day. I heard monk told me before, last time I remember this Western monk, Ajahn Chakaro, he said throughout his monkhood, I think that time he was ordained for almost 20 years, he said he only got 2 occasions where he didn't receive offering. So he has to go without food for that 2 days. So these are quite interesting sharing from the monastic. Then the 7th precept is I undertake the training rule to refrain from entertainment, beautification and adornment. You are as a monk, your sole purpose and intent is very clear, like the Buddha lay out in the 10 reflection. Our test we will go through. So this is to exercise restraint through understanding. Because as a monk, you already shave your hair. What else you want to beautify? So there is no reason, because you are here to train. You live a simple life. So all this is to remind you, you are no longer a worldly person. That's why all these are not necessary. But you have to keep yourself clean, wash out all those things. It's not a problem. Then wearing jewelry and all those things, you shouldn't be. But don't misunderstand. There is a monk, the Longpo Chumian, you remember? We went and visited him. He carried a lot of things, you remember? Heavy weight. He is because he is finding out about this kaya, how this physical form get itself tormented when it is loaded with thing heavy. So he did it with understanding. So 7:30, maybe we just finish off the last one. The last one is just to prevent indulgence. I undertake the training rule to restrain from lying on high bed or luxurious sleeping places. This is to remind you not to develop sensual indulgence. Because when you are used to that, you tend to be conditioned into that desire for all these things. Then the Mahayana always have this advice to the laity. You know, the lay people, what they like to do? They like to make offering to monk. They like to give them the best. So some of these cultivating monks, they tell them, it's very dangerous when you do that. Not all monks have the Dhamma and understand. When you make it too comfortable for them here, they don't want to seek, strive on with heedfulness to realize Nibbana. They say, on earth is better. Conditions are so conducive. So you have to be mindful. They live a celibate life of a renunciate is because they want to strive. So you have to compliment them. You have to understand. You don't go and indulge them. But sometimes for cultivators, they thank you because you are testing them, understand? But your intention is not testing them. You have good intention. You want to provide them with the best. But unknowingly, those who are not so well trained, you are actually indulging them or trying to provide the best so that they have the good meal. Then indirectly, it's like they have this good food or good whatever. Then sometimes because they are not well trained, they're craving. So every time they expect devotee to bring good food. Then one day you go on holiday for 1 week or what, your good food didn't come. So the monk will think of that devotee, that lady last night cooked all this nice food, how come today she is not here? And then she heard, 9 days holiday in Europe or somewhere. Then depend on how their mind react. So all this can happen. But it doesn't mean that you are the cause of it. You develop the mindfulness to understand their condition so that you don't create unnecessary condition for their mind to be affected. Okay. So before you break for breakfast, maybe we just go through the 10 reflections. What page is it? Yes. Thank you. Page 28, yes. 10 object or subject for frequent reflection by one who has gone forth. So we have finished the third one. The third one is, my very life is sustained through the gift of others. This should be reflected upon again and again by one who has gone forth. Then the fourth one is what most people should do, not only monk. I should strive to abandon my former habits, which are no longer aligned with the holy life. This should be reflected upon again and again by one who has gone forth. Then does regret over my conduct arise in my mind? So you have to be mindful to check. Because when you commit something not appropriate, even normal people, not monks also, they have this remorse or regret and all those things. So this is a very good reflection. Do you regret over your conduct? And does it arise in your mind? So this should be reflected upon again and again by one who has gone for. So this is to cultivate perfection, so that you will not make mistake, so that all this mind state cannot arise. Then the next one is, could my spiritual companion find fault with my conduct? That is very important. If you don't conduct yourself properly, appropriately, then you have to check through my action, through my cultivation, am I doing it correctly, appropriately, or do I arise any of this mistake that will allow my spiritual companion, means those who are also in the holy life, so that they cannot find fault with your conduct. Then the next few is the same. All that is my beloved and pleasing will become otherwise, will become separated from me. This should be reflected upon again and again by one who has gone forth. This is one of the 5 daily contemplation. Then the next one also same. I am the owner of my karma, heir to my karma, born of my karma, related to my karma, abide and supported by my karma. Whatever karma I shall do for good or for ill, of that I will be the heir. This should be reflected upon again and again by one who has gone forth. See, monk also need to reflect. You better reflect more. Karma, you cannot play a fool. It's a very powerful spiritual law. Then the day and night are relentlessly passing. how well am I spending my time? Because you are a monk, that's why you need to be diligent. You need to really strive on, because you have committed yourself to this holy life. And even as a lay practitioner, if you are serious about the meditation, the cultivation, you are also similar to a monk, understand? Because you are very serious. So this one should be reflected upon again and again by one who has gone forth. For me, I no need to wait till day. Moment to moment, life passes by. What am I doing? Then straight away, this mind become heedful, because it doesn't want to be heedless anymore. Because Dhammapada verse 21 says, the heedless are as if dead. So if I'm not continuous mindful, ever mindful, I'm heedless most of the time. And I don't stand a chance. That's why I determined to be mindful. And within 2 weeks, the thing come. And of course, in between, the bowing also help. So, from that determination, intent to be aware inside, then I determine, then together with the bowing and whatever daily mindfulness training I did, then the mindfulness came. Then the next one is, do I delight in solitude or not? This is also very important. This should be reflected upon again and again by one who has gone forth. So as a monk, you should be able to stay in solitude, in a place where you are alone. So this solitude is very important. Jai Krishnamurti also mentioned, there is a difference between loneliness and aloneness. Do you understand? When you feel very lonely, means what? You need companion, isn't it? Whereas loneliness is the solitude that you cultivate. You are not lonely. So this is a very important understanding. It means your mind can abide alone. You don't need fellow companion or living being to be peaceful, to be calm, or to get yourself involved with a community and all those things. And this is very important. Yeah, during the early days of training, I always seclude myself. I doesn't want to stay in a crowded place. Even I go for whatever, what visit or spiritual trip, or even they call it, you go for what, holiday or what, in a group or what. I always silent, then I go one side, then I quiet myself, unless people come and talk to me. That's why after a while they know, they say that one is monk, is it? Huo Xiong. They call me in Cantonese, Huo Xiong Zai. Right now they call Song. Then those from Johor and Penang, the Hokkien one, they say He Xiong, no need to talk to him, let him be. So all this, you will have them. Okay, the last one is, have my practice bore fruit with freedom and insight, so that at the end of my holy life, I need not feel ashamed when questioned by my spiritual peers or companion. This should be reflected upon again and again by one who has gone forth. Then the Buddha said, monk, these are the 10 dhammas that you need to reflect upon again and again by one who has gone forth. So this is a very good sermon by the Buddha. So you can learn from it, even though you are not a renounced-shaped person. Even though you haven't gone forth. But as a cultivator, practitioner, you should reflect on this too. Even though you support yourself, you don't depend on others. But you must know, your sustenance comes from nature, understand or not? So it's also from nature. So you have this in mind, you have gratitude towards nature, you have gratitude towards your good karma, you thank your good karma. So this will cultivate virtue and make you different. then you reflect on things differently. Normal people will never reflect on. Okay, you can go for breakfast. Pay respect, triple jam. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then you can go for your breakfast.
Buddhang pujimi. Dhammang pujimi. Sanghang pujimi.